Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning lecture at the Young Israel Vladimir. So just calendar announcement. There is no this is the last year of the summer-based Medrash program. That means there is no more Thursday shiur. I don't know the other shiurim schedule. Thursday shiur is on recess after this. I just spoke to Rabbi Schechter last night. In September, we will have shiur September 2nd and September 9th, and then we break for the Chagim. Okay, so this is the last shiur in August. Then there is shiur Be'ezrat Hashem Thursday, September 2nd. Thursday, that's Erev Rosh Hashanah. And then Thursday, September 9th is the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah Tzom Gedalia. We do have shiur. And then we recess Be'ezrat Hashem. We should be well to after the Chagim. So if you have friends who usually join the shiur and they're not here, please let them know so that there's no shiur next week or the week after. Okay. We will begin. Excuse me, you should take a handout from the Bima for the people on Zoom. I will be screen sharing that handout. I'm actually going to begin in the Parsha itself. You don't need to get up and get a chumash if you don't have one in front of you. It's a long trek to the back of the room, and I'm going to just be quoting some psukim from inside to put our shiur into context, and we're going to leave the Parsha and come back to it soon. So I'm actually going, if you do have a chumash, or you're at home, you have a chumash, I'm in chapter 21, Perek Chof Aleph of the book of Devarim. I'm going all the way to the end of the Parsha. It's Parsha Shoftim. Let's see what the topic is all the way at the end, and then we will come back to this topic after we go through some sources. So the Pasuk tells us, Perek Chof Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Ki yimatzei chalal ba'adama asher Hashem elokecha nosei necha. If a corpse will be found on the land that Hashem your God gives you, the rishta, to take possession, no fel basadeh, it has fallen in the field. Lo no da mihi kahu, you do not know who the murderer was. How is this corpse here? How did it get here? Who killed it? We have no idea. We don't know any information. The elders of the city and the judges of the city shall go out. They measure the distance from the cities, the nearest cities, to the corpse. It will be that the city that is closest to the corpse, so the elders of the city that it is found that the corpse is closest to that city, will take a young calf, asher lo ubadba, that has never done any work, asher lo mashcha ba'al, it has never pulled a burden, so it is a calf, a young calf, that has never been worked, v'horidu zikne ha'ir ha'ir es ha'egla, and the elders of the city take this calf. Where do they take it? El nachal eitan, to a harsh valley, a harsh ravine, asher lo ya'avad ba'al, so they take a calf that has never worked, to a ravine that has never been worked on. Velo yizarei, it has not been sown with seeds. Ve'arfu sham es ha'agala b'nachal. And what do? They do egla arufa. They break the neck of the calf. They decapitate the calf in this barren land. And it is a calf that has never worked upon it. And the elders do this. Which city is closest to the corpse? V'nigshu ha'kohanim b'nei Levi, the Kohanim from the tribe of Levi come, because God has chosen to serve and to bless in his name. Okay? And all the elders come to the corpse, and they wash their hands over the egla arufa. And what do they say? V'anu v'amru. They raise their voices, and they make the following declaration. Yadeinu lo shafchu es hadam. Our hands did not spill this blood. V'eineinu lo ra'u. And our eyes did not see. Remember, it's an unidentified corpse. We don't know how it got here. We don't know who killed this person. Who's going to take responsibility? So whichever city measures closest to the corpse, the elders have to come, they have to wash their hands, and Rashi says, let a calf that has never worked or bore seed come and atone for a person who has never had the chance to bear seed. So you take it into a harsh ravine that has not been sown, an animal that has not worked, to represent that this person's life has been totally cut off prematurely, and the elders of this place have to say, it's not our responsibility, our hands did not spill this blood, ve'einenu lo, and our eyes did not see. And then they declare, the Kohanim say, Kaper la'amcha Yisrael, give atonement for your nation Israel that you have redeemed. Do not put innocent blood in the midst of your nation Israel. And now we should remove innocent blood from the midst. We should do what is right in the eyes of God. So this is the famous passage of Egla Arufa. Our hands did not spill this blood. Keep that in mind. And that is how the parsha ends. And we're going to come back to that topic after. Now what we're going to do is go to our handout, which seems to be unconnected to the topic at hand. But like I said, we're going to come back to understanding the connection here. So for those on Zoom, I'm going to put my handout on the screen. Just one moment. It's right here. Okay, can you see? I can't see anyone, so. Okay, Esther, you're the only person I could see right now. Can you see that it says Mishnah Yuma 8-9, Paraches, Mishnah Tes? Yeah, okay. So this is where we are. Let us begin. If you just came in, there's a handout at the corner of the Bima. It's a two-page handout. We're going to start at the top of page one. So this is the very last Mishnah in Masachas Yuma, the very last Mishnah. So let's look at the Mishnah. There's a lot to say. We could do a whole shiur on this Mishnah alone, but we're not going to. Maybe the Erev Rosh Hashanah shiur. We'll discuss some more topics in this Mishnah. I don't know. Ha'omer echtava ashuv, echtava ashuv, ein maspikim biyadol asos teshuva. Someone who says, I'm going to sin, and then I'm going to do teshuva. I'm going to sin, and then I'm going to do teshuva. Ein maspikim biyadol asos teshuva. It doesn't work like that. It's not a game. You can't say, oh, I'm going to talk Lashon Hara, and tomorrow I'll do teshuva. And then I'm going to talk Lashon Hara, and then tomorrow I'm going to do teshuva. It doesn't work like that. I'm going to eat basar b'chalav, and then before Rosh Hashanah, I'll just do teshuva. So you already preempt that you're going to sin, and then I'm going to do teshuva, and God will forgive me for everything. Ein maspikum biyadol asos teshuva. If your yetzer gets the better of you, and you really try to do the right thing, and you made a mistake, and you stumbled, and you failed. So teshuva is a cleansing process, but you can't premeditate the sin, and then say, I'm going to do teshuva. So it's not going to be in your hands. Repentance will not be gifted to you. You can't say, I'm going to spend the whole Tafshin Pei Aleph sinning. And then, since Itzu Moshe Yom Mechaper, the essence of Yom HaKippurim gives atonement, so I could spend the whole year in sin, and then Mazel Tov on Yom Kippur, I'm going to have atonement, it will be no problem. It doesn't work like that either. Aveiro Shabein Adam L'makom, sins between man and God, such as not keeping Shabbos properly, such as Basar B'chalov, such as not taking the Arba Minim, such as not eating matzah and eating chametz on Pesach, those are all sins Bein Adam L'makom. In other words, I don't hurt my fellow when I do those things. He might feel bad for my neshama, but I have not hurt you as a person when I do those things. So Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, if you go through the process of Teshuvah, as delineated by the Rambam, we went through some of that on Sunday's OU Women's Initiative shiur, if you go through the halachic stages of Teshuvah for sins, Bein Adam L'makom, okay, so then Yom Kippur will be Mechaper. I bolded the next sentence for you. Aveiro Shebein Adam Mechavero, Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, Ad When it comes to sins between man and fellow man, such as stealing, such as insult, such as Lashon Hara, such as physical harming somebody else, such as giving somebody motzi shema. So when it comes to sins between man and fellow man, it's not a magic day. Yom HaKippurim is not going to be a day of atonement until you appease your friend. Etzeh darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mikoch atoseichem lufnei Hashem titaru. The pasuk says in Parshas Achrimos, when it talks about the Yom Kippur avoda, mikoch atoseichem, all of your sins lifnei Hashem. The sins bein Adam l'makom titaru. For that there will be tahara. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshans from that pasuk that we learn that Yom Kippur is mechaper bein Adam l'makom. Mikoch atoseichem lifnei Hashem titaru. The essence of Yom Kippur will bring kapara and tahara for sins bein Adam l'makom. We gave a number of examples. Averu shebein Adam l'makom. So that's the source of the pasuk. You see, it's from Vayikra Perek Tadzayin. That's the source for our understanding that Yom Kippur is mechaper bein Adam l'makom, but not bein Adam l'chaveru without kapara. Averu shebein Adam l'makom. Yom Kippur mechaper. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, based on that pasuk from the Yom Kippur avuda, sins between man and God, so to speak, between man and God, or sins that I have been, I have failed in my tafkid between me and God. So Yom HaKippurim Mechaper, it will bring atonement. However, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, Verisha ben Adam Mechaveru, Enya Makipur Mechaper. Once again, the Mishnah tells us that sins between men and fellow men, Yom HaKippur will not be Mechaper, Ad Sheyirat says Chaveru, until you appease your friend. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, the great Tana Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, how fortunate are you, Israel? Lifnei mi atem mitaharim, mitaharin, umit mitahar eshem. How fortunate are you, Israel? Before who do you have purification? And who purifies you? Avicham Shabashamayim, Ein lanu amila hisha, Ein ela alavinu Shabashamayim. We have purification before our Father in heaven, Shen Ne'emar, like the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Vezarakti aleichem mayim tahorim utahartem. I will sprinkle upon you the waters of purification, and you will be purified. Va'omer, and the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Mikva Yisrael Hashem. The mikvah, the cleansing pool of purity of Israel is God. And I always point out when I talk about mikvah, it's relevant now because we're reciting Kapitel Chof Zayin of Tehillim every day, twice a day, Shachris and Mincha, Nusach Sfar, like myself, Shachris and Arvis, Nusach Ashkenaz, like this base Knessas, and I'm sure some of you, but we recite the David Hashem Uriv Yishi, and the last pasuk is Kavei El Hashem, Chazak V'yameit Zibecha, 27:14 Tehillim, V'Kavei El Hashem. So hope to God, fortify and strengthen your heart, and hope to God. But I'd like to point out that Kaveh does not only mean hope, it also means a line. In Israel, Rav Kav is a car that you could buy to ride many buses, many rides on the same line. Rav Kav. Rav Allah Kav is a line. So Mikva Yisrael Hashem not only is the hope of Israel, it's also the word hope. It's the word hope, it's the word for a pool of water, Yikavu Hamayim, by Maisa Bereshis. So it's the word hope, it's the word body of water, and it also means a line. So when we go for the process of purification, Hashem is our mikveh. He is, first of all, the process of purification, like a woman who goes to the mikveh to become tahor. He is also our hope. We have to hope to God. And we also have to make sure we have a connection, a line running constantly between us and God. Ma mikvah mitar esatmeim, says Rabbi Akiva, just like a pool, a natural pool of water, cleanses the impure. Afakosh Baruch Hu mitahar es Yisrael. So too, Akosh Baruch Hu gives cleansing and purification to Israel. Very beautiful Mishnah. It's the very last Mishnah in Mishnah Maseches Yuma. And the focus of our Shir is, like I said, there's a lot to talk about in this Mishnah, but the focus is the fact that Aveiro Shevein Adam Lechaveiro Ein Yom HaKippurim Mechaper Ad Sheyiratza Es Chaveiro. And how does Rabbi Elazar ben Azar? You learn that out from the Pasuk in Vayikra Mikol Chatos Lifnei Hashem Titaru. It doesn't say Mikol Chatoseichem Titaru. It doesn't say Mikol Chatoseichem Lifnei Chaverchem Titaru. Lifnei Hashem. So we learn from here, Bein Adam Lechamakom Yom HaKippurim Mechaper. Bein Adam Lechaveiro, it's not so pasha. Let us now go to the second source on your handout, Mishneh Torah. This is the Rambam's magnum opus compilation of Jewish law. Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Teshuvah, Parak. Parak Beis, Halacha Tes. So let's see, the Rambam's Hilchos Teshuvah is very, very powerful, very relevant, a lot to talk about, a lot to learn. We did some of it in the Sunday, All You Women's Initiative Shir as well, different halacha. So today's Shir is, let's see what the Rambam has to say about sins bein Adam lechaveiro. Let me say before we read Pirkei Avos, for those who read it through the whole summer, like myself, this week we read Parak Vav of Pirkei Avos, and then the final three Shabbosos, it's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav. We double up like a double header, Lahavdia. So before we start the Pirkei Avos, we say, Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lem Chelek La'olam Haba. It's a Mishnah, Shenemar, V'amech Kulok Tzadikim, La'olam Yeshu Aretz. What is Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lem Chelek La'olam Haba? I don't remember where I heard this word. It's not my own. Okay? I mamish don't remember where or when I heard it. Kol Yisrael, so we tend to think all of Israel is a portion in the world to come. But one way to understand this Mishnah is when all of Israel is together, then we all have a portion in the world to come. Kol Yisrael, when we are one cohesive group, when Bein Adam Mechaveru is as wonderful as Bein Adam Lomakom, when Jews of different kippot can sit down together and different head coverings and different ashkafas, and it doesn't mean, and I say this all the time, it doesn't mean you have to be Mechal Shabbos like your neighbor. You should not be mechal Shabbos like your neighbor. You should ask the Astor. You should live a life of halacha. But even while you do not respect the choices that the person makes, if they are contrary to halacha, you must respect the person. Patty, I just read not only the piece that by the Rav, but your son's addendum, which is really the point of his shir in explaining the piece of the Rav, that we must have respect for our fellow Jew, even if you're Orthodox and they're conservative. So call Yisrael, think about that when you recite Pirkei Avos this Shabbos, it's Perek Vav. Call Yisrael, Yerushim Chelek Olam Haba, means not we're all automatically getting into Olam Haba. In fact, I listened to Rabbi Shai Shachter's Shir yesterday morning from Tuesday. And if you were there, you know that we're all not getting, we're not everyone's getting into Olam Haba. So it can't mean, Pasha, call Yisrael, Yerushim Chelek Olam Haba, because it's except for these exclusions, like a Baal Lashon Hara. So it's not everyone's getting in. So what does it mean? When we're kol, we're one unit, when we have achdus, when Klal Yisrael is one force together, then yesh lahem chelak la'olam haba. So let's see what the Rambam, again, I have no idea where I learned that. It is not my own var. So now let's look at what the Rambam has to say in Hilchos Teshuva, Parak Beis Halacha Tes. Hey, ein ha'tshuva v'lo yam ha'kipurim mechaprin ela alaveo she'ben adam makom. Very strong statement. The Rambam should be studied very, very carefully. Every word of the Rambam is significant. Rav Salvechik says, without the Rambam, I would be out of a job. Okay, so it's very important to look carefully at what he's saying. And Maimonides, the Rambam writes, Ein ha-tshuva ve'lo yam ha-kipurim mechaprin ela alveo shever adol makob. Even the process of teshuva, like we learned on Sunday, which is charata, aziva sachei, kabbalah al ha'asid, and vidui. I'm not going through that piece of the Rambam right now, but that's the process of teshuva. But it doesn't work between Adam l'makom. It doesn't work between Adam l'chaveiro. It only works between Adam l'makom. And the Rambam says befeirush that neither teshuva, repentance, nor itzumo shel yom, the power of Yom HaKippurim, gives kapara for sins, only for sins, ben Adam l'makom. Kigon, he gives examples. So Micha Haaretz gave some examples. The Rambam gives some examples. Misha achal davar asur, I gave the example, basar b'chalav. You ate something that was forbidden. You didn't realize, I just saw in the Israel news the other week, that under the Rabbanut in the north, did you see that they found a lot of treif meat? It was coming from Arab towns, one of the plants in the north, and a lot of restaurants already. It was Rabbanut Hechsher, and a lot of it was mamish treif meat from Arab towns. So let's say you ate something asr, and you either didn't realize, or you did realize, and then you do full teshuvah, and you regret what you did, and you leave eating treif, and you're never going to do it again, and you say oral confession, achei chechatan lefenecha b'machal v'mishta, and you really mean it, so then you're okay. So then you don't have that aveira anymore. Kagan misha achal davar asur, or ba'al bi'il asur, or someone who had forbidden sexual relationships, the kayotze behen, okay, aval aveiro shebet adam mechaveiro, sins between man and his fellow, kigon, for example, hachovel as chaveiro, one who damages or harms his friend, o hamekalo chaveiro, one who curses his friend, o gozlo, or he steals from his friend, v'kayotza behen, and other such sins, eino nimchalo le'olam, I should have bolded the word le'olam, oh my gosh, eino nimchalo le'olam, there is no mechila forever. You could give $1 million to tzedakah. You could say, I'm never going to do it again. You could go through the whole process of teshuva. Nothing's going to help. Ad sheyite nechaver mashu chayev lo. Let's say you stole. Until you give back your friend what you stole from him. V'yaretzeihu. And you have to appease him. It's not enough just to give back what you stole. You also have to appease him. Af a pishach zirlo mamon, even if you return to him his money, shehu chayev lo, that you are obligated, you stole $10,000, and now you really did charata, and now you decide that you really want to pay him back, so you give him back the $10,000. It's still not enough. Tzarich l'retzaso v'lishomi meno sheyimchalo, it's not enough. You have to go, and you not only have to pay back the $10,000, but you also have to ask him to forgive you, and you need to plead for forgiveness. Afilu lo hiknet as chaveru ala bidvarim. We just had a whole shiastik, I know you were there last night, about the power of words. Right now, he's the only one I could see on Zoom, so that's why I'm saying everyone else is behind the black box as far as I could see on my screen right now. Afilu lo hiknet as chaveru al bidvarim. even if you only annoyed your friends with words. You made a joke at their expense. You posted something not nice on a WhatsApp chat that embarrassed them. You rolled their eyes. You made an off comment to them that was offensive. What's the big deal? It's just words. So you have to appease him. You have to go to him. You have to meet with him. You have to encounter him until he grants you forgiveness. If his friend does not want to forgive him, you're not off the hook. The friend doesn't want to forgive you. So you still have a problem. You have to bring a group of three of your friends, and you have to go encounter this guy, and you have to ask him for forgiveness. I just had a case, mamish, where my husband and I totally inadvertently caused somebody pain and insult. A close family friend has been a family friend for mamish decades, and I think Al Pi Halacha, my husband and I were totally right. Mamish a friend for decades, and I could see that this person was very insulted. And I sent one message asking forgiveness. I said, we can't let a friendship of decades go to the wayside over this. I'm very sorry that our actions insulted you, even though Al Pi Halacha we were correct. Still no answer. Then again this week, I said, listen, it's Elul. And I want to kitch you against Shemayim. I'm asking, please, that we cannot let a friendship of decades go by the wayside over this very minor, I don't want to be more specific or say exactly what happened, but mamish, a lifelong friend. And I really, besides the fact that I didn't want the friendship to go, it's mamish elul. It's very serious, even if you're right. It's not pashut, even if you're right. And I was already going to ask a shayla, what should I do? So you're going to see what the Rambam says, how many times you're chayav to ask forgiveness, Baruch Hashem, after the second time. Thank you, Hashem. We're okay. Whew, I said thank you. Well, ratza chaver limchalo, if your friend does not want to forgive you, I was imagining how many people I have to go and take and make a whole public spectacle, please forgive us, okay? And you have to encounter and you have to ask, mechila, lo nisratza lehem, mevilo shnia ushlishis. If he still doesn't want to grant you appeasement, you have to do this twice and you have to do this thrice. Lo ratza minicha v'holechlo. If after you go through the process three times, so this is, the Rambam isn't, the Mishnah Torah is not a book of philosophy, okay? That's the guide for the perplexed. This is halacha. I was mamash going to ask Ushayla if he really wouldn't forgive us. I really didn't know what I was going to do. I was going to, thank God, after the second time, it's okay, and it was a sincere apology, and mechila was granted. But what I'm telling is that this is the halacha, and if you mamash have a shayla in this realm, you got to ask a shayla because it's extremely serious. And none of us, I wrote that in the text, I was considering sending this piece of the Rambam in the text, it might have been on the third try, because you're going to see what the Rambam says about a person who will not grant mechila. So there's a responsibility for us to seek mechila, but there's also a responsibility to grant mechila. Because there will be a kitchud in Shamayim both ways, and nobody wants that on Yom HaDin. And if we could but appreciate a fraction of what Yom HaDin is, we would appreciate the severity of machlokes bein adam mechaveh, will call Yisrael Yeshem chelek olam haba. Doesn't mean every Jew's getting into olam haba. Clearly it doesn't. We listen to Rabbi Shai Shachdu's shir on Tuesday morning. You can look up the sources yourself. When we're one cohesive unit ba'achdus, then we all have a portion to olam haba. But lo ratza menicha v'holechlo. If he doesn't want to forgive you still, then you leave him and you go. V'zashelo machal hu hachote. I should have bolded that for you. So I was mamish thinking, like, do I need to send this in the, I was sincere asking forgiveness. I'm not going to read you the text or tell you exactly what my husband and I were perceived to have done. Nevertheless, but Baruch Hashem, we really don't fight with people at all. But this person was very insulted. And it doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong. I have to make sure that there's mechila. V'zeshelo machalo hu hachote. Oh, you ask mechila, you take a shura of three friends, you do it once and twice and thrice, and now the person still won't grant mechila. Now it's not like a half-baked apology. You're really, we're begging for mechila. V'zeh shalom machal hu hachote. Now it's turned. The person who will not grant forgiveness, he is the sinner. However, if it's your rabbi, and you insulted your rabbi or your rav, so then it's a little bit different. You have an obligation up to 1,000 times to keep going until he grants you forgiveness. So this, as you see, Ben Adam and Chaveiro, is an extremely crucial component of the teshuva process, and our whole Yitzumo Shel Yom is contingent upon Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, because Bein Adam L'Makom is much easier to do teshuva. Now, I don't know, let's say someone has a real taiva to eat pig, okay? So Baruch Hashem, I have zero taiva, so I don't think I'm even getting schar for not eating pig. I don't even want to eat it. But let's say someone really has a struggle with that, and they mamash want to eat chazir, and they love how bacon tastes and pork chops, and they go through the process of teshuva. It's like they never ate it before. It's mamash like they never ate it. We learned on Sunday that a person who does teshuva gets a new name. He's a new person. Aini also a isha, also a maisim, says the Rambam. Mishana shmo. You never ate pig in your life. Oh, I've been eating pig for 35 years. The person thinks, no. Real teshuva, Hashem forgives. It's cleansed. You never ate it before. And Adam Mechaveru, it's much more complicated. The next halacha of the Rambam, Perek Beis, halacha yod. Asur la'adam liyod achzari. Velo yitpayes. So now he's talking about the wrong party. It is forbidden for a person to be achzari, to be a cruel person. Velo yitpayes. You should not be a person who is not able to be appeased. Sometimes, Hashem Ya'azar, Yerachim, V'yoshia, V'yishmar, you hear of families. I don't know any of your personal business. You hear of families where people literally are not speaking to each other. This world is so fleeting. If that's you, try and fix it. How many years are you here for, says David HaMelech in Tehillim chapter Tzadi? 70 years? 80 years? There's a din going on up in Shemayim. There is no kapar, it doesn't matter how religious, how long your skirt, how shmur your matzah, how muhudr your esrog, it doesn't matter. There is no kapar on Yom Kippur. It doesn't matter if my husband and I were halachically absolutely correct. It doesn't matter. I mean, you don't fight with anybody. You have to have kapar from that person. Siblings who don't talk over money. Money? You know what money is? Nothing. 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 Tovli Torah's Picha Me Alfei Zohar V'Kesef. What are we fighting about? There's no kapara. You could be the most charedi. There's no kapara. None. Make up. Beg forgiveness. Now you asked once and twice and you followed the halachic stages. And the person doesn't forgive, now they're the achzari. It's on them. We have to ask the mechila, and you have to grant the mechila. Asur la'adam liyot achzari v'lo yitpayes. Ela yenoach lirtzos v'kasha lichos. It's a paraphrase from Pirkei Avos. I'm sure you're familiar with that Mishnah. It is asur for a person to be cruel. I'm not saying you have to be best friends with the person, but you have to grant some forgiveness. Yosef HaTzadik says, Ki l'mchia shachani elokim lefnechem, l'chayos amrav. When the brothers reveal themselves, when Yosef reveals himself, and the brothers are completely astonished, and their mamas can't talk. And Yosef HaTzadik says, But he says, Al yireh b'nechem, is the same word as mechila, the same letters. Lemechia, if you scramble the letters, lamed, mem, ches, yod, hey, it's mechila. This is also not my own var. I try to remember where I read things, or I learn them. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. He was granting mechila. Now, they sold him, they threw him into a pit. Who's right and who's wrong? What did you do to your brother? But it's not Pasha. You should be noach lirtzos, easy to appease, v'kasha lichos, and hard to anger. Uvishaasha mivakesh mimenu hachote limchal, mocha b'leiv shalem uvenefesh chafetza. And when that person comes to ask mechila, You have to grant mechila with your full heart and your full soul, your desirable soul. Again, the Rambam's talking to both parties here. He's talking to the aggriever and the aggrieved. This world is too short. We're here for so little. You know, I was just reading, Mishpacha Sapelman came, and they had, they're talking about like retirement communities for people over 55. I just turned 45, Baruch Hashem. I'm like, 55, retirement? I'm like, what are they talking about? Retirement communities for people over 55? I'm like, this. You don't feel your age. You don't realize what decade of life you're in, but you're there, and we're getting there, and life's too short. But there's a dual responsibility. One is upon the aggriever to seek mechila that is sincere a number of times, if necessary, in public. But the aggrieved party should not be achzari, should not withhold that mechila. It is usur. Usur, says the Rambam. Va'afidu hatserlo, v'chatalo harbei. The Rambam understands what it means. Even if he caused you a lot of aggrievement, and he sinned against you very much, you should not take nakama, and you should not bear a grudge, Parshas Kedoshim. This is the way of the seed of Israel, meaning the Bnei Yisrael. This is the proper path on which our hearts should be. When it comes to the Ovdei Kochavim, the Umos HaOlam, they are of Arel, uncircumcised hearts, and they don't behave in this fashion. They hold on to the sin forever. The Avrasan Shamran Netzach. That's the way of the Goyim, says the Rambam, not the way of a Jew. They bear that grudge forever. V'chein hu omer al ha-givonim, and this is what it says about the givonim, they didn't give mechila, and they weren't able to be appeased, and therefore we know that they are not from the Bnei Yisrael. Next halacha, top of page 2. Turn the page for those in person. Turn the page. Let's say the guy died, and you never asked for mechila. So now you think you're off the hook. No, you're not. Hachote de chaveru umeis chaveru kodem sheivakish mechila. You sinned against your friend, bein adam echaveru, and your friend died before you had the chance to go through this process of asking mechila. Mevi asar bnei adam, you have to bring a minion, umaamidem al kivro, you got to go to the Beis HaChayim, and you got to stand by the guy's kever, with a minion, v'yomer bifneim, and you have to say out loud, chatasi l'Hashem, this hand that has shemus, okay? So if you are keeping it, b'simcha, just be careful with it. If you're not, there's a shemus box in the hallway. Chatasi l'Hashem elokei Yisrael, v'liploni zeh, shekach v'kach asisi lo. You have to publicly say in front of this minion of men at this guy's grave, I sin to Hashem, the God of Israel, I sin to Mr. Ploni so-and-so, and this is exactly what I did. Now, obviously, the person in the grave cannot speak back, but hopefully from his place in the Olam HaEmes, when you come with a minion, he will understand that bearing a grudge does not benefit the person here, nor does it benefit his neshama, and therefore the hope is that, and the tefillah is that he will grant forgiveness. There's not much more you can do because the guy's dead. V'im haya chayev lo mamon, and if you, let's say, part of the sin was that you stole $15,000 in business from him, so what should he do? You can't pay him back $15,000 because he's in the grave. And if you remember the previous halacha, halacha tes, is that not only do you have to ask mechila, but you got to pay back what you stole from him. You can't give him $15,000 because now he realizes that money is worth nothing. He doesn't need it anymore. It's not going to help him. He can't pay Jewish tuition. He doesn't have to buy kosher food. He doesn't have to buy clothing. He doesn't have to pay a mortgage because he's in the grave. So what should he do with the money? Yachzira layorshim. You have to give it to his inheritors. So if he left, you know, family and people are in here, you got to go to that family and say, this $15,000 that I stole from your father is yours. Lo haye odea lo yorshin. So if you don't know if he has any inheritors, yanichei beveistin v'yisvada. You have to give the money to Beistin and you have to orally confess the sin that you did. So we see how this is a very complicated, complex, sobering, and important topic when it comes to Inyanei Teshuvah and Kapara on Yom Kippurim. Why did I begin with Egla Arufa? I mean, very nice topic, but this doesn't seem to be an Egla Arufa shir at all. I'm now going to quote from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichron Alevracha, Drashot Ludoro, In the beginning of the week, I was reading, sometimes at lunch, when I eat my lunch, I like to read through Rabbi Dr. Lam's drashos, and there are often many gems. Remember the last year we had here 2 weeks ago? Is anyone Shema's different? You will put food in the field for the animals. You will eat and be satiated. Yeah, I hope someone remembers that shir. You remember the shir. Okay. So this is a piece from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichrono Livracha. I'm applying it differently than his teaching. He's talking about the teaching it's a much longer essay. I'm quoting a couple of paragraphs. He's talking about this teaching vis-a-vis parents to children. But I am talking about it vis-a-vis Ben Adam Lechaver. This was given in September 1951. I always love to note the date because we're going back, and sometimes in his pieces you really do read a window into society at the time. So he's talking about Egla Arufa. In today's Sedra, this is a drasha for Shoftim, we learn that if a corpse was found between two towns under mysterious conditions, we already went through the pshat of the psukim in the beginning of Shir, and the murderer is not known, then the courts have to measure the distance from the nearest cities or villages to the corpse. The elders, the representatives of the town or village that the corpse is closest to, have to perform a very strange, if not humiliating, ritual. They take a calf who has never been worked, upon whom a yoke has never been placed. They bring it down into the ravine near a brook, near a ground which has never been worked. They decapitate the calf. They wash their hands upon the carcass. And they say, Yadenu lo shafru es hadam hazeh. Our hands did not spill this blood. The einenu lo ra'u. Our eyes did not see. What strange words. What does our eyes did not see have to do with the guilt or the innocence of the community and its leaders in a murder case? And if indeed these hands did not spill this blood, which is what they say, there's a lot of significance, since I mentioned Yosef, to the fact that Yosef sent the Agalos home and he was telling his father, the last passage we learn is Egla Arufa. It's not just Stam. The Chazal want to teach us that Yosef was sending a message to his father that it's not your fault and it's not my brother's fault. Yadehem lo shafru es hadam hazeh, ki limchia shachani elokim lifnechem. The Agalos were a message that owed Yosef benichai, when he saw the Agalos and his heart overturned, Yaakov understood that it was really Yosef. But why were they learning Egla Arufa? Because Yosef was sending a message. What was the message Yosef was sending? That my brothers are not responsible, and you, father, are not responsible for my spilled blood, proverbial spilled blood, because Hashem sent me to be a provider of life. And indeed, if these hands did not spill this blood, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, then why require the elders to undergo this strange, frightening, and suspicious ritual? Our rabbis, and he quotes the Mishnah and Sota, anticipate this question. And they comment on the phrase, Ve'einenu lo ra'u. The elders have to say, not only our hands didn't spill the blood, but our eyes did not see. The sages comment in the Mishnah, we accept moral responsibility for this corpse, for this person, because we failed to accompany him out of town. How wise, says Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, were our sages. With their insight into human nature, they realized this man had not successfully resisted the attacker because he left the town demoralized. The elders of the town failed to walk the man out on the highway. They failed to encourage him on his way. They failed to make him realize his presence in their community was important to them. They failed to make him realize that his leaving their town saddened them. They simply were indifferent. They did not take any notice to this man. It's not that they were mean to him. It's that they simply didn't see him. And it is courage, the knowledge of a man that he is backed by his fellows, that is necessary for a man to be able to stand up against his killer in the middle of the night. It doesn't have to do only with physical prowess. doesn't only have to do with how much black belt in judo you know. He didn't have the courage because he didn't think that anybody cared about him. Without this encouragement, this knowledge that he meant something to someone, a man's resistance to attack is nil. Whether he has eaten well or not, he falls by the wayside, and he is dead. And Ben Adam Echaveiro, it's not enough to be nice. You have to first notice the person. And sometimes there are people who get left by the wayside, who are not noticed. Simply nobody pays attention to them. You're not mad at them. I'm not in a fight with them. I'm just too cool for you. Remember when we were kids, there were the cool people and the not cool people? I'm not mean. I never said anything bad. I'm just not taking the time to notice you. Shoftim is always read. Re'eh is always the parsha of Rosh Chodesh Elul. So Shoftim is always the parsha, the first one in Elul. There are many connections. Taught a number of them over the course of the week. But I think that here we have a very powerful connection between Eglah and Rufa. Not only do they say, Yadenu lo shafchu es adam hazeh, but they have to say, full of guilt, Einenu lo ra'u. And when a community has thus sinned against a lonely stranger in its midst, it must accept full moral guilt for this murder. Of course, they didn't kill him, but they didn't build him up. They didn't notice him. They didn't pay him any attention. And the elders have to announce in shame, these hands did not spill this blood and our eyes did not see. Do you know how the rabbi, says Rabbi Dr. Lamb, would translate that? No, we did not murder him with our own hands, but nevertheless, our hands are stained with his blood because our eyes did not see. We were blind to his existence, indifferent to him. We overlooked him. We failed to encourage him and inspire him with the dignity of being a man amongst men. Our hands are stained because our eyes were clouded. The following is a true story. The author who told it wishes it wasn't so. It has to do with Rabbi Dov Lipman. I met Rabbi Dov Lipman in the Knesset at a Tu B'Shvat Seder in January 2014. My husband and I were zochah to be at the first ever Tu B'Shvat Seder at the Knesset. It was an incredible experience. We don't have any connections. My father was invited, and he couldn't go. He said, you know, my kids happen to be in Israel then. Can they attend instead of me? It was absolutely amazing. Anyway, if anyone remembers, I spoke about it when I came back years ago. I brought in the pamphlet from the Knesset Seder. It was incredible. Okay, but I met Rabbi Dov Lipman, and I asked him if this is a true story. And he said, yes, it is absolutely a true story. Rabbi Dov Lipman and his wife moved into their newly purchased home in Cincinnati, Ohio, and over the coming days and weeks, they noticed a man who would regularly walk up and down the sidewalk. He went across the street from their home. He always wore the same thing, a yellow polo shirt, blue pants, and a baseball cap. The Lipmans didn't think anything. He was an elderly gentleman who liked to walk. One afternoon, Rabbi Lipman was returning from the community kollel, and the man was, as his habit, walking, and the two men were about to cross paths. My father taught me to greet every person with a cheerful hello, says Rabbi Lipman. So as I passed him, I did just that. Good afternoon, how are you? I said to the nameless man. The man stopped and responded, where in the Torah does it say you have to wear that black hat and jacket? Rabbi Lipman could not believe his ears. He had no idea the man was Jewish. He had no idea the man knew anything about the word Torah. And he couldn't believe this is the first thing a stranger would say to him. Rabbi Lipman proceeded to stand there for 2.5 hours, answering the man's questions and talking to him. The man's name was Julian. His grandfather had been a distinguished member of the Orthodox Cincinnati community. Julian had many questions about God and religion. I met Rabbi Lipman and I asked him, is this a true story? Because it was on the Times of Israel website a number of years ago. Obviously, if I asked him in 2014 if it's true. And he said yes. I haven't told the story over in almost a decade, I would say. But when I was preparing the shiur, this is exactly what came to mind. And that afternoon, a pattern was born. Julian met Rabbi Lippman every time at the same day, and he would escort Rabbi Lippman to his study session. This continued for months. Julian refused to enter the Kola building with Rabbi Lippman. He refused to join the Lippmans for a Shabbos Suda, despite many invitations, but he remained his walking partner. One day, Julian looked sad, and Rabbi Lippman said, "Why are you sad?" He said it was his 70th birthday. Rabbi Lippman wished him a happy birthday and told him, "You should be happy, not sad. You're 70 and you're in good health." He replied, "70 makes me feel old. I feel like I'm going to die." He asked Rabbi Lippman, "Will you recite Kaddish for me after I pass away?" since he had no children. Why would Julian want someone to recite Kaddish for him if he didn't believe in God? "I want to cover all the bases," he said. Rabbi Lippman promised to recite Kaddish. A few months later, Rabbi Lippman was offered a teaching job in Silver Spring, Maryland, an offer he could not refuse. Julian showed up at the Lippman door on moving day. He spent hours telling Rabbi Dov Lippman about his life, his experience as a soldier during the Korean War, the woman he loved but never married. And then it was time for the Lippman family, Rabbi Lippman, his wife, and one-year-old son to leave. Rabbi Lippman hugged a very sad-looking Julian, and Julian reminded him of his promise to say Kaddish for him. Rabbi Lippman said, "You have nothing to worry about. You are young and healthy, and you have many years ahead." They promised to be in touch, and the Lippmans left. 2 days later, in Silver Spring, Maryland, the Lippmans' phone rang. It was a good friend from their block in Cincinnati. After some small talk, the friend said, "Dov, I have to tell you something. Julian passed away." Rabbi Lippman was in total shock. Just 2 days earlier, his friend was the model of perfect health. He spent the day in the Lippmans' home. "How could this be?" "Dov," said the friend on the line, "it's much worse. Julian took his own life." Rabbi Lippman collapsed on the floor in grief. He writes that though Julian suffered from emotional issues, quote, "I can say with 100% clarity, as long as we were living across the street and Julian knew he had a friend looking out for him every day, he knew someone took an interest in his life, there was no way he would have done such a tragic, terrible deed. Once we left town, and that attention and concern and friendship was taken away from him, in his mind, he had no reason to live." This complex yet simple relationship, which was literally fueling Julian's life, began with the words, "Hello, good afternoon, how are you?" That initial conversation, which led to many more talks, wasn't simply teaching Julian about Judaism, about God, about Kaddish, about Torah. Those talks were simply keeping this man alive. Concludes Rabbi Lippman, "Such is the potential power of a good afternoon, how are you, to a total stranger passing us on the street." One more paragraph from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb's drasha. During the war, this is in 1951, so when he says the war, we're going back 5 years ago. "During the war, I received a letter from a soldier friend of mine," a little more, 8 years ago. "I received this letter from a soldier friend of mine who hit the Normandy beaches on D-Day, fought through France, and went through the horrors of the Battle of the Bulge. The boy saw more horror in his decades than many saw in their old age. Yet he wrote to me, he did not falter for one moment. Despite the cold and impersonal grinding war machine, he did not feel lonesome, dejected, or hopeless. One thing helped him during those long months of battle. It was the remembrance of his father, who, seeing him off from New York, and the father could not speak because of the great emotion, put his hand on his son's shoulder, and he hugged him strongly. His father's hand on his shoulder is what kept his spirit and his body alive in the battlefields of Europe. It was this that accompanied him and allowed him to survive. His hand on his son's shoulder was life-sustaining encouragement. That father's hand was not stained with his son's blood. It was not necessary for that father to perform the ritual of the Egla Arufa. Yadeinu lo shafchu es adam hazeh ve'einenu lo ra'u. This all brought to mind perhaps a different way to interpret. I can't believe how much we'll bring up Yosef. It wasn't even part of the plan. Mechila lemchia, Egla Arufa, and now one more story about Yosef. I love Yosef at Tzaddik. Maybe you remember that from the parshas that we talk about him. This is very cute. A few years ago, for Hanukkah, someone gave me a very meaningful, Adina Greenberg, I don't know if she's listening to the shiur or she will hear it, but I still appreciate it, a beautiful sketch from a famous artist who sketches Gedolim of Rav Soloveitchik. It's beautiful. It was very personalized. She knows I love the Rav, and hung it up. It's beautiful. So what she said to me is, I really wanted to get you a portrait of Yosef at Tzaddik. The Rav is Rav Yosef Dovah Levi Soloveitchik Zatzak. But since I couldn't find one of Yosef at Tzaddik, this will have to do. So I'm bringing up Yosef again. And I was preparing Shir and going through this piece by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. It reminded me very much of Yosef at Tzaddik. Perhaps now we have new meaning to Bad Yoknel Sha'avi v'nireis lo b'chalom. I always took it like as a rebuke, because you're going to see what the Gemara says, which Rashi doesn't quote on the Chumash. Yosef, man up. Yosef, you're Yosef at Tzaddik. Yosef, you learned everything I got from Yeshiva Shein Ve'Eber. You're going to sleep with this woman? But maybe that's not what it means. Look at the bottom of your handout, please. Well, actually, it's not the bottom, but it's the last sources. Esti, could you see it says Bereishis Lamed Tes? Yeah, okay. Vayihi, so this is Bereishis Lamed Tes, is Eishes Potifar. Vayihi kayom hazeh vayavo abayis alasos melachto ve'ein ish me'anshe abayis ham babayis. She says, I don't feel well, I'm in the way of woman, everybody goes out to do avodah zarah, and this is her opportunity. She is going to finally seduce Yosef. Every day she's after him. Shechva yimi, every day he resists. Rashi, Rav Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel have a mechulkas. Chad Amar malachto mamish. Some say he mamish came to the house to do his work that day, like Swiffer, Windex, vacuum, dust. He mamish came to do the work of the servant. The Chad Amar, what are you saying? That's not why he came to the house. Lasos trachavima, he came to do his work. He came to do his work to fulfill his sexual needs with her. Ella, how did he run away? What saved him from spiritual death? What saved him from taking his own life? What saved him from becoming an unidentified corpse who nobody cared about? Near Eslo Demus de Yoknel Sha'aviv, the Isaba Masachasota. He saw an image of his father in the window. So let's look at what the Gemara actually says. Sotel Amid Vav Amid Beis. There's many more people, both on Zoom and in person. I'm about to finish here, so I need to interrupt this amazing Torah that we're sharing, because Torah is amazing, and just tell you one thing. There's no Shir anymore in August. This is the final week of the Young Israel Wilmer Based Medrash program. Next 2 weeks, don't come. No Shir. There is Shir September 2nd, which is Erev Rosh Hashanah, and September 9th, which is Tzom Gedalia. And then after those two shiurim, Bezor Hashem, we break to after the Chagim. Okay, that's the schedule. Please share with your friends if they're not here today. So what does the Gemara actually say? Masecha Sota Lamed Vav Amed Beis. That Tafseyu Bivigdo Leimar Shichva Imi. She grabbed his garments and she said, lay with me. Basa Sha'a, but also Sha'a, at that moment, Vayana Sachutza. How did he run outside? But also Shah Basti Yokno Shal Aviv in Ereselo Bechalon. At that moment, his father's image appeared to him in the window. Amarlo. His father said, Yosef. And I always took this as a rebuke, but maybe his father was reminding him, I love you. I believe in you. I want your name to be on the ephod of the Kohen Gadol, on the breastplate, on the stones, just like all of your brothers. You're better than this. Remember, there's someone at home who cares about you, who paid attention to you. Even though your brothers hated you, I, your father, love you. I care about you. I encourage you. I pay attention to you. Amar lo Yosef, asidin achicha sheyiksevu o avnei ephod, va'atah b'neim, Yosef, in the future, your brothers' names will be inscribed on the stones of the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, and your name will be there. Ritzoncha sheyimcha shemecha mibneihem v'tikra roa zonos. Do you want your name to be erased and instead it'll say the companion of prostitutes? As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, V'ro zonos yavarho, and those who consort with prostitutes will lose great wealth. So maybe it's not that his father was rebuking him. His father was reminding him, someone cares about you here. Someone loves you here. Someone believes in you. And someone needs you. Bein Adam l'makom, it's like you never ate the chazer. Mamish, you never ate it. Yom Kippur's mechaper, you go through the halachic stages of teshuvah, geshmak. In Adam l'chaveiro, it's much more complicated. And this world is too short to be embroiled in machlokas over fleeting things. And nobody wants a kitrug against them in Shemayim, even if you're right. But the responsibility is not only on the aggrieved, it's also on the aggriever. You have a responsibility to ask mechila, but you also have a responsibility to grant the mechila. What does it have to do with Egel Arufa? Part of harming our fellow man is not only being mean, it's not even paying attention. My son is a counselor. I really have to go, I have an appointment. My son is working in one of the local day camps. Baruch Hashem, he's doing great. And he said that there's a child in the bunk, not giving any identifying information at all, who is autistic. And the child broke his leg, so the child is now in a wheelchair. So my son just sent myself and my husband pictures yesterday. I guess the mower took it. He said, so we had dancing time. It's little kids. He said, so I took a circle of children, and we went over to the wheelchair. And he sent the picture. He was holding the hand of the autistic boy, and we danced in a circle with this boy. And I said, that's so, so, so special. And he said, at the end, he gave me a hug. Should never be the person who has to say, he's all 15 and a half, Kanai Nahara. Should never be the one has to break the neck of the calf and say, Yadenu lo shafchu es adam bezeh, ve'einenu lo ra'u. Because sometimes a simple show of love and concern will literally make the difference between life and death. I will see you, Be'ezrat Hashem, before Rosh Hashanah, September the 2nd. I wish you all an end of a healthy summer and a kesiva v'chasima tova. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov. Esti, you get an award. Esti, you're the only one on Zoom. Oh, one more. Whose screen was open. Thank you so much. Kol tov, everybody. Have a good Shabbos.